Okay. Right. Good evening, then. And it is Parshat Toldot, and we are going to look at a pasuk, a couple of verses in the Parshat HaShavua, in the Sedra of the Week. Right, so we have here, in fact, we have the story that it talks about that you mentioned here, that you were mentioning this before. Here we have Yitzchak, and he is the land of the Plishtim, and he is with Rivka, his wife. Only he said that she is his sister, as we've seen happen a few times previously. And so Avimelech, who's the king of Plishtim, he commands, since Hashem warns him not to touch her. So he commands everyone to keep away from her. And then it says, so that's in verse 11 on the second page. Vayitzav Avimelech et kol ha'am lemor. Avimelech commanded the whole people, saying, Hanogeh ba'ish hazeh v'ishto mot yumat. Anyone who touches this man or his wife in any negative way will be killed. So then we have the verse which is the actual beginning of the discourse, the Maimon. Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi. Yitzchak sowed in that land. Vayimtza b'shana ha'i. And he found in that year me'er sha'arim. 100 times, it literally means 100 gates, which the discourse will take up, this idea, the 100 gates. Like Nun Sha'arei Bina, 50 gates of understanding. You have it? It's on the second page of the Chumash. Yeah.
This one?
The one that says at the top, 121. Yeah, that's right, on the back, I think. Yeah, so we're just looking at verse 12. So he sowed in that land, and he found in that year 100 gates, which usually is translated 100-fold, 100 times what he would have expected to make of wheat, or of corn, whatever kind of corn. Vayavorcheu Hashem, and Hashem blessed him. Vayigdal Ish, and he became great, the man, that's Yitzchak, became great. Vayelech haloch begadel. He went becoming greater and greater. Ad ki gadol ma'od, until he was very great. Vayhilo miknei tzon umiknei bakar, and he had flocks of sheep and of cattle. Va'avuda rabah, and a great household, many servants. Vayekanu oto plishtim, and the Philistines were jealous of him, and the story goes on. Okay, but this idea of sowing in the land and of being blessed and of finding 100-fold, 100 gates and of being blessed by Hashem, that Hashem blessed him, that is the theme of the discourse as it applies to each one of us in the course of life, and that's what we will try to explore. So first of all, we begin with the Nigun Shel HaMaimon. Because when the Rebbe would say, a Maimon would say a discourse, this discourse, Vayizra Yitzchak, was said on Shabbat Toldot, just before the month of Kislev, which was Tavshin Kavzayin, 5727, which means at that point it was still 1966. So it's the winter of 1966. 5727 is this discourse. yo ya 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 yo ya yo ya ya ra ya ra yo ya yo ya 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 yo ya yo ha yiridam ba ya yiridam ba yom ha ho ya yirida ya yam ba yom ha yiridam ba yam ba yo ya yiridam ba ha yiridam ba ho yam ba ya ya yam bam bam ho ho yam ba yam bam 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 yo yam ba yo bam 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 Vayizcha Yitzchak ve'eretz ahi, and Yitzchak sowed in that land. Vayimtza b'shana ahi, and he found on that year me'er sha'arim, 100-fold. Vayivorecheu Hashem, and Hashem blessed him. V'tzarich lahavin, now we have to understand. The mizeh shenema vayivorecheu Hashem, the fact that it says Hashem blessed him. La'achalei vayimtza, after it says he found dot 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 mea sha'arim, 100 gates, 100-fold. Mashmasha vayavarecheu Hashem u'inyan nosaf al zeh. It seems like these words vayavarecheu Hashem, Hashem blessed him, is an additional idea to the idea al zeh shematza mea sha'arim, to the fact that he found 100 times as much grain. Now, I didn't manage, I meant to make a note to myself to look this up in the different Mefoshei Torah. I would very much imagine that there's someone who simply says that, what does it mean Vayavarecheu Hashem, that Hashem blessed him? That is the fact that he found 100 times. You know, that would be a very simple way of reading the text. However, the way the Maimer takes it, the way the discourse takes it, is that it's two different concepts. One is that he finds 100-fold, and another thing is that Hashem blessed him. V'tzarech bio, ma she'omer vayavarecheu stam. It needs an explanation. What does it mean that Hashem blessed him? Be'enu mefaresh b'mer barecho. With what did Hashem bless him? If you take it that vayavarecheu Hashem is an extra concept, so in which way did Hashem bless him? What was the blessing? What was the blessing? If you take it that it's all one thing, that he found 100-fold and Hashem, and i.e. God blessed him, then there doesn't, you haven't got a problem. But if you're saying that finding 100 times as much grain is one thing, reaping 100 times as much grain, that's one thing, and then God blessing him, so there's the question, what is the blessing? Gam tzarich lahavin, we also have to understand. Hari gam zeh shematza me'er sha'arim, the fact that he found 100-fold, me'er pa'amim mikafi shi'aru, 100 times what they estimated they would reap. Hulo pidach ha'teva, that itself is not natural to make 100 times what they thought they would get. Have you got it?
Yeah
you've got rid of it. It's Eila Birchat Hashem, that itself is a blessing from God. The effect of getting 100 times the wheat that was estimated. Ula Eidach, and on the other hand, Gam Abrachad Devivarecheu Hashem Shel Achli Metziat HaMeir Sharim, the idea that Hashem blessed him after he found this 100-fold, Hu She Yitzchak Nibarech Bevlachazu. Vayivarecheu Hashem. Hashem blessed Yitzchak. It was Yitzchak himself who was blessed. But nonetheless, the finding of the 100 times worth of grain, of corn, is connected to Yitzchak. Vayimtza, he found. Whereas really, you would expect it, you know, Hashem caused him to find. Why did it grow 100 times more than was expected? It's a blessing from God. Ubabracha shenit barech Yitzchak lachle shematza me'asharim omer vayivarecheu Hashem. The emphasis on Hashem comes in the second part, but not in the first, because the first part, it just says, he found. Taking it the way that the Maimon is presenting it, that it's two separate things, you would expect Hashem to be mentioned at the beginning as well. And when it says vayivarecheu Hashem, this is a blessing which is coming to him from Hashem, but the emphasis is on Hashem. And what we're working towards here is an idea of two different dimensions of blessing, and which we are coming towards. We can understand this through what the verse says later on, the next verse. And the man became great, till he became greater, ad ki godel ma'od, till he became very great. Sha'al yedei, through the fact that vayizcha Yitzchak, that Yitzchak sowed the grain, na'aseh hagdala b'Yitzchak atzmo, there became something greater in Yitzchak himself. Vayigdala ish, the man, he himself became greater. Dishnei anyanim shebapasuk vayizra Yitzchak vayimtza, the idea that Yitzchak sowed and he found. Me'er sha'arim vayivarecheu Hashem, each of these concepts, heim b'noge latfua, they concern the grain. Vayimtza me'er sha'arim, and finding a hundredfold, uribui muflag ba'atfua atzmo, it's an astonishing increase in the grain itself. Vayivarechei Hashem, now Svono tells us an interesting thing. What does it mean? Svono takes it like this. Svono says indeed, Vayivarechei Hashem is something separate. What is the blessing from God? Hushamacha tvuato bedamim yekarim. Seems very simplistic in a sense, but it's explaining what is meant. That he got a lot of grain, it's very materialistic, right? That's what it says. He sowed the grain, he made a lot of grain, and then he sold the grain, he sold the tvuah for raising a lot of money through this. That's what Svarno tells us, as it says in footnote 4. Yes? Vahine Hagam Shekol Inyanei Avot. Now, everything about the patriarchs, Heiman Inyanim Ruchniim, they're spiritual things. The Mizemuvan, and from this we understand Shahatfuah, Shabatfuah di Yitzhak Hayagam Inyan Ruchani. When we talk about Yitzhak sowing grain and reaping a lot of corn, there's also something spiritual going on here. It's not just a material concept. Good businessman. Yitzchak, the primeval Jew, is a very good businessman. He sows the grain, makes the grain, of course, increases. Whatever the Jews do, prosper. And as Werner Zombart said, an anti-Semitic economist who wrote, as I was told in the university, that whenever the Jews come to a country, the sun shines on that country. And when they leave, everything withers and dies. You know, unfortunately, he didn't like them very much on that account. But that's the... So here we have Yitzhak. He's making a lot of... the grain is growing. Not only does the grain grow in an exceptional way, but he sells it and he makes a lot of money from it, on account of which he's able to buy all the cattle and sheep and things like that, and servants. He's able to get that because of the selling of the grain, right? So it just looks like a very good business enterprise to counter the present state of the market. However, the Rebbe says, no, we're also talking about something spiritual here. Ushnei anyanim devayimtza me'er sha'arim vayivarechei Hashem, the two ideas of finding a hundredfold of crops, and the fact that Hashem blessed him, they also apply to the spiritual dimension of the crops of Yitzchak. Mikol makom, nonetheless, they still concern something specific, tvuah, crops. Even if you want to put it in spiritual terms, it's one aspect of spirituality. But in the verse afterwards it adds, Sha'al yedei avodah, but that through this particular service of sowing Yizra Yitzchak, of Yitzchak sowing the grain, na'aseh hagdala gam bichlalut inyano, there was some kind of expansion and greatness caused in his whole inyan, in general. Vayigdal ha'ish, the man as a whole became great. Not just his crops became great, but he himself. So in other words, even if you imagine that we are talking here not just about physical crops, but about spiritual dimensions. There's a difference between a particular spiritual dimension and then something which is general in terms of the totality of the person, or of the sfirot, of the realms of the sfirot that we're going to be coming to in a few minutes. Now you see, the Rebbe begins with a pasuk in the Chumash that every five-year-old child in the traditional school system, or indeed whatever school system, might be learning this verse, this pasuk in the Chumash, in the Torah. And then, so there is an anchor. There is a way in which, from the very simplest level, one is able to have an anchor, a connection to something in the Torah, using anchor in the way they use it on a website. Like, you have something which is anchored, and then you got a hypertext, and you click on that, and a whole new world opens up. So, in a sense, that is what is happening here, that there is the pasuk, the verse in the Chumash, which is something that school children might study, or people of 103 years old as well might study the same Chumash, the same Parshat HaShavua every week, with Rashi's commentary and other commentaries. And so now we're going to launch into a maimer, into a discourse by the Rebbe's namesake, Rebbe Nachum Mendel, the Tzemach Tzedek, which was I don't exactly know the year that it was written by the Tzemach Tzedek, but it would be something like 1850, that kind of time. It's printed. You see footnote 6, Nidpas Bo'or HaTorah. Or HaTorah is a book, a set of books with, I think, 40 or more volumes. So, Or HaTorah, there's a whole set of volumes on Bereshit, and then a set of volumes on Shemot, and so on. So, it's a very large work, an encyclopedic work, in a sense. And there is, you can look up Pasha Toldot, and here it is. Now, according to this maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek, Dibur HaMatchil Zeh, Dalet Hei means Dibur HaMatchil, means beginning with these words, Vayizra Yitzchak. You see, there might be many discourses by the Tzemach Tzedek on this Sedra, Pasha Toldot, but there's one, or maybe with this Koteret, Vayizra Yitzchak, that's called Dibur HaMatchil, Dalet Hei. That's a word which is used also when you're talking about a page of Talmud, and you want to refer to a particular Tosafot. So you say Tosafot Dibur HaMatchil, and you say the first word of the Tosafot. That's the way it's referred to technically. The Itab Midrash. We learn in the Midrash, in Midrash Rabbah, Ba Yitzchak. Yitzchak came. Af hu heir. He shone. Yitzchak came, and he shone. Shenema o zarua letzadik. The light is sown for the tzadik. So the tzaddik, the righteous person, man or woman, there is this radiance which is sown for them. Uchtiv, and it says, Vayizra Yitzchak. Yitzchak sowed. So the word Zarua and Vayizra go together. Hainu, that means Shahazriyash Zara Yitzchak, the sowing of the seed which Yitzchak planted, is O Zarua LeTzadik, the radiance which is sown for the Tzadik. So in other words, Yitzchak has this quality of radiance, and that is what he's planting. He's planting something in the ground or in the world which has a quality of radiance. Now, in another midrash, Ubatana de Be Eliyahu, that's what that abbreviation is. It's a very popular and interesting midrash with a history all of its own. In Tana de Be Eliyahu Ita, we learn Ala Pasuk Vayizra Yitzchak. It says there, Ein Zriya Elat Staka. When it says sowing, it means staka, charity. Shenema, as we have another verse, Ziru Lachem Litztaka, sow for you with charity. So in other words, charity is a form of sowing, of planting as well. So there is planting of radiance, and there's planting of staka, of charity. Umavai Bar Maimon, it explains in the discourse of the Tzemach Tzedek, the Masha Katuv B'Tana Devei Eliyahu, what it says in the second midrash of Tana Devei Eliyahu, Sheva Yitzra Yitzchak Utztaka, that when Yitzchak sowed, planted, it means charity. Kai Gam Al Kol HaMitzvah. It doesn't mean only tztaka, as a mitzvah of giving money to a poor person. It means all the mitzvah. Because all the mitzvah Shenichu B'Shem Tztaka, they are called staka in general, and that refers to mitzvot in general. Kamosh katuv utstaka tielanu. And there is an explanation in the discourse that this verse utstaka tielanu, it will be righteousness for us, means doing righteous things. In other words, rather like the English explanation, the word staka tzedek means righteousness. So doing righteous things means every kind of mitzvah. So they're mitzvot. So doing mitzvot is a form of planting. V'gam haTorah nikret b'shem zriya. Also the Torah itself is called planting. Kamo shekatuv, as it's written, Sheish shanim tizra sadecha, 6 years you should sow your field, and the seventh year is the Shemitah year. But here it's just focusing on the 6 years. For 6 years you should sow your field. And what is that? Heim shitas sidrei mishnah. That is the six orders of the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah has got six orders. Zraim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, Kodoshim, Taharot. So those are the six orders of the Mishnah, which cover the entire Torah Shebal Peh. And so those are the 6 years where you sow your field. So the sowing of the field is like the six orders of the Mishnah. V'zeh sheve Yitzra Yitzchak hu ozaru al tzadik, and that's what it means that Yitzchak's sowing in the field is the radiance, which is sown shu o haTorah v'haMitzvah. It's the radiance of Torah Mitzvah. Shezarua, which is planted. What does it mean planted? You take a seed and you put it in the earth, and then you cover it. It's there in the earth. Nitlabesh bedvarim gashmiim. In order to sow these seeds of Torah Mitzvah, they are enclosed in physical things. Shebe'olam hazeh. Worldly things. How do you do mitzvah? You do mitzvah in a practical way, like there's the mitzvah of Avat Yisrael. So how do you do the mitzvah of Avat Yisrael? Let's say between husband and wife. So the wife says, can you take the garbage out? It has to go out to the dustbin, to the street. So the husband says, of course. So he picks up a pail of garbage and takes it out into the street where you put the pail, the garbage, waiting for the dustman to come. So here is a mitzvah, a very important mitzvah, of Ahavat Yisrael, Bein Ish V'Ishto, between a husband and his wife. It's a wonderful thing. How do you do it? With a bag of garbage. It's done in the physical world. And in fact, most mitzvah take place in the physical world using something or other which is physical. Even Torah, learning Torah, it's true that in Hasidic teachings there tends to be discussion of Sfirot, Olamot, divine dimensions, worlds, and so on. But in non-Hasidic teachings, like in Nigla of Torah, the standard Talmudic dimension, which is extremely profound, extremely beautiful, it is all the time talking about practical things. One ox gores another ox, who has to pay, and how much they have to pay, and so on. It's a world of practicality. So the Torah is enclosed in physical things, and the mitzvot are enclosed in physical things. That's the zriya, that's the planting of taking something very spiritual, this radiance, which is the inwardness of Torah and of mitzvot, and planting it in the physical world. So that's the planting which is taking place over here. And through this we can explain Masha al yedei havodah de yizra, that through the service of sowing, of planting, la seve yigdala ish bichlaluto, you get the general concept of the man growing in general. Ki vayizra yitzrak hi avodah klalit. This is the general avodah, limur havodah de limuda Torah bekiyum mitzvah. The service of learning Torah and keeping mitzvah. And so therefore, the whole man grows. Val pisa yesh lomar, and so therefore we can suggest, shegam shnei anyanim shebapasuk v'yitzchak yitzak, the two concepts in the pasuk, Yitzchak sowed, and those two concepts are, A, vayimtza mea sha'arim, he found 100-fold, and B, vayavarecheo Hashem, and Hashem blessed him, hey min yanim klalim, they are general concepts applying to the whole service of the individual in this world. The kamosh avodah of Yisra Yitzhak yavodah klalim. So, just as the sowing is something general, applying to everyone in every aspect of life, there's Torah and there's mitzvah, so too, gam en yanim shenimshechu melamayla al yedei avodah zu, so too the things that are drawn from above, through this service, namely the finding 100-fold and the blessing, heim in yanim klalim, they are general concepts. So therefore, we have taken our pasuk, our verse, our anchor, and we have pressed the hypertext, and we have come into a realm where there is the general avodah, there's the general service of studying Torah and keeping mitzvah, which are somehow planting something in the physicality, in the gashmiut, the materiality of this world. And what is being sown is radiance. It's or. It's radiance which is being sown. Gimel. V'nei mevuah b'chama mekomot. Now it's explained in a number of places. Gives a whole set of references in footnote 17. The idea that Torah mitzvot are called planting, kai al hayerida de Torah mitzvot, is talking about the descent of the Torah and mitzvot lehitlabesh bedvarim gashmiim, to being clothed in physical things. And the intention in this descent, the fact of Torah mitzvah being involved with physical things, is for the sake of an ascent, rising higher, which is going to come about through that process. So in other words, something so spiritual as Torah. And what is Torah? You start learning Torah, and it's simply speaking about very practical things. A person might take a pasuk of the Torah in Mishpatim or something like that, and it's talking about very, very practical issues, and then the Talmud starts discussing that did the ox gore the other ox, or was it an ox which usually gored oxen? Should it have been looked after better, because several times before it had already gored an ox, so it should have been kept locked up in the field? It's talking about very practical things. That's And most an ox goring another ox. So there is this, so Torah is enclosed in the material world. But that being enclosed, and for that matter mitzvah, are enclosed in taking out the garbage. But the kavanah is that it's for the sake of an ascent. V'dugma tzriya ba'aretz, like sowing, planting a grain in the ground, shehi b'shvil atzmicha, And why do we put the seed in the ground? So that it should grow. It should grow many times more than the seed was at the beginning. But now we have to understand that according to this explanation, the expression planting as regards Torah mitzvah, who's doing the planting? It's God who is doing the planting. Shehu horid haTorah mitzvot lemata. God brought the Torah mitzvot below into the physical world. V'lo b'nogeh l'kiyum haTorah mitzvot d'adam. It's not concerning the keeping of Torah mitzvot of the person. When, and it says in our pasuk, u'mimah shekatuv v'yizra Yitzchak. Yitzchak sowed. He planted. See, if you just say that Torah mitzvot are planting, it's God who is the subject. Whereas here we find Yitzchak is the subject. So from that fact that it says Yitzchak is the subject, he's planting. Muvan, we understand, not only Torah mitzvot in general, as it were from God's point of view. God is infinite and beyond the physical world. But nonetheless, God allows and makes the Torah and the mitzvah being clothed in the physical world. That's one aspect. But there's another aspect. Since it says Vayizra Yitzchak, that it's not God planting, it's Yitzchak planting, Isaac planting. Move on, we understand. Shegam kiyum haTorah mitzvot da'adam. The keeping of Torah mitzvot by the person. Hi yechida b'tzorech aliyah. That is a descent for the sake of an ascent which comes later. V'yesh lomar b'yubazeh, and one can suggest an explanation of this, al pi mash katub b'mayma b'sofo, od perush, at the end of that discourse by the Tzemach Tzedek that he's talking about, it gives another explanation, b'oz aru la tzadik, of the words, light is sown for the tzadik. The inyan hazriyah, the idea of the planting, he lizroa benefesh ba'amit, is to sow in the animal soul hamshachat seichel umidot shel nefesh elokit, a flow of the seichel, the intellect, and the midot, the emotion of the divine soul. Shal yedei ze nasa tzmicha v'aliyah ba'seichel v'amidot de nefesh elokit, through which comes a flourishing, a growing, an ascent in the mind and the emotions of the divine soul. Now, let's try to understand this, and it's at this point we're going to need some kind of diagrammatic help. So I'm not quite sure how to represent the soul. if we imagine the person, okay, here is it. Indeterminate person who could be either male or female, and what suffuses, see, beginning in the heart and like suffusing their body and their being in various ways is the animal soul, right? So that's the nefesh ha-bahamit. And that is the energy which keeps the person alive and makes the person want to eat and want to do this and want to procreate and want to own things, want to possess things, and has desires and fights for things. That's the animal soul. Then we have the divine soul, Nefesh Elokit. The Nefesh Elokit is usually seen as beginning in the mind, and from the mind, it's... Should I take it? And from the mind... It spreads, and there is a sense in which it enters into the activities of the animal soul. So we have the divine soul. See, they're not separate to each other. They're separate at one level, but in another, the divine soul is actually implanted in the animal soul, and it's in the body. Very often, the divine soul is seen as imprisoned in the animal soul. It's in galut, it's in exile. And there are all kinds of exilic images. like a prince who is in prison, tochen beveta asurim, and he has to grind corn the way they used to put prisoners walking round and round with a millstone grinding corn. So that's like the divine soul, which is stuck inside the animal soul and the desires of the animal soul and the body, and in a sense suffering there. And there is a whole way of understanding the redemption of the divine soul as being one of the important struggles of life, to achieve a point of redemption of the divine soul. But here we're looking at it in a somewhat different way. The divine soul is implanted within the animal soul. So it sort of, it comes down into the animal soul, and that's the zriyah. This is the planting. And that's Vayizra Yitzchak. The Yitzchak, the person, is planting. That is implanting the mind, seichel umidot, the mind and the intellect of the divine soul, so that, and it's being planted in the animal soul, and what happens? The seichel v'amidot, the nefesh elokid, there is a growth. There is some positive dimension which is achieved for the divine soul because of this process. The kivan, because since the end of a line here, five lines up, the end of this paragraph, the kivan shahashorish the nefesh bahamid, since the root of the animal soul, hu lemailama shorish the nefesh lekid, is higher than the root of the divine soul. Now that's one of the fascinating things about Kabbalistic thought, is that which is lower comes from higher. Now this is a constant paradigm which operates in many different ways. So the animal soul actually comes from Olam HaTohu, the world of chaos. Now Olam HaTohu is the world of the Shvirat HaKelim, of the breaking of the vessels. And it's a very, very exalted realm. The divine soul is, or the wisdom of the person, the essence of the divine soul comes from a higher level even yet. But the wisdom and understanding of the divine soul comes from a level which is called the world of tikkun. So there is a lower level. So there's a realm of tikkun. And the point is that the animal soul, which has got negative qualities in it, a little bit, you see, in Parashat Toldot, there is Yaakov and Esav, Jacob and Esau. Now, they're not mentioned in this discourse. But Jacob and Esau represent the divine soul and the animal soul. And in Esav, there is a power. There is a power which comes from a higher spiritual realm. And that is why Yitzhak loved Esav particularly, because Esav has got inside him a spiritual power from a higher realm, even though the problem with that spiritual power is that it often has a very negative effect in the world. So we're dealing with a very dangerous energy. When we look at it in terms of the individual, the animal soul has got tremendous power, but the animal soul is very often a very problematic aspect of the person's being. So since the root of the animal soul is higher than the root of the divine soul, the nefesh elokid shorsha b'tikkun, because the divine soul is based in tikkun, in the realm of tikkun, v'nefesh habamid shorsha b'tohu, and the animal soul, its root is in tohu. Therefore, al yedei sriyat seichel umidot the nefesh elokid, through the sowing of the intellect and the emotion of the divine soul in v'nefesh habamid, in the animal soul, Nasa tzmicha aliyah b'nefesh elokid. The divine soul itself ascends. On one level, the reason why the divine soul connects with the animal soul is to try to control it. The animal soul runs wild. It does all kinds of naughty things. And the divine soul has to say, no, no, that's forbidden. It says in the Torah, you mustn't do that. And tries to control it. But in fact, the divine soul, like the man riding a horse, so a man rides a horse. So on one level, he's controlling the horse. On the other level, he gets a big kick out of riding a horse. So one of my friends when I was at college, so he loved driving fast cars. So I said, Are you still into driving fast cars? He says, no. Now what I like is galloping through a forest. That's the greatest excitement. Because galloping, it's very dangerous to gallop through a forest because you can run into a branch and get knocked off the horse. So that's the real. So the thing is that the divine soul, if you see the image, the divine soul dealing with the animal soul, in fact, gets a very big uplift from this. And so therefore, there is a growing of the divine soul, Ulahiyah, and so just to mention, there's another way of looking at this, which is in another book of discourses, Likutei Torah. It says, the Ozahul Tzadik, the idea of the radiance which is sown, it's Yeridat Nefesh Elokit, Tidlabesh B'Nefesh HaBahamit, the whole idea that the divine soul is there implanted in the animal soul. But when it says, Lizroa B'Nefesh HaElokit, B'Nefesh HaBahamit, Hamshachat Tzechlo Midot Shal Nefesh HaElokit, so, in another Hasidic source, I'm going to paraphrase this, in another Hasidic source, it says that the planting is the fact that the divine soul has descended into the animal soul, which is really nothing to do with the person. That's the way we're born. We're born with that. That's what God is doing. God is making us be born with a divine soul inside an animal soul, and that's the planting. That really goes back to God doing the planting. The planting process, which is spoken about here, that by Yizra Yitzhak, is that we ourselves do the planting. And we do the planting by taking something which is very ethereal, the sechel, the intellect, and the emotion, which relates to the divine, and somehow planting it in the animal soul in order to experience the excitement that only the animal soul, or the animal soul particularly, can experience. It's almost as if you take a very spiritual idea and you express it in terms which leads to a tangible arousal and excitement within the person, and that helps that spiritual idea mature and have a greater power within our divine framework. Now this in fact is, although it doesn't say that in the discourse, this is the whole process of Chabad Hasidic thinking, which is one of taking something spiritual and exploring it in more terms which relate to the psychology of the person. This is why it very often many discourses revolve around the relationship between thought and feelings and different types of feelings, and indeed the Sfirot are often depicted in terms of feelings. Chesed is kindness, Gvura is severity, Tiferet is mercy. So it's this interplay of sort of human feelings and exploring the relationship between them, that itself is a kind of implanting of something ethereal and spiritual. The qualities, the midot and the seichel of the divine soul entering into the practicalities of the animal soul and the imagery of the animal soul. It's part of a form of poetic process, where what happens, that something which is spiritual takes form in an image. And that imagery is the imagery of the animal soul, a moonlit night. That's whatever the image is, it's something the animal soul can immediately respond to. And when something divine and something spiritual and sacred is implanted into those constructs, then the spiritual dimension is itself uplifted. So in fact, the whole creative process is this. A person feels a very deep feeling, which is really beyond words, and he or she then paints a painting or composes a piece of music, which arouses emotions, and they are, in a sense, they're emotions of the animal soul. But the purpose of this is in order to get to something which is higher, which is, so the painting is something which the code of the painting. The painting is referring to images that the human being has seen and experienced, and even in just pure color, or abstract images. It's still relating to responses within the person, but those responses then magdil, they expand, they make grow the spiritual dimension which is there. So this process of planting is a process taking place within ourselves, which we do. We are doing the planting, and we are planting something spiritual of what's called the divine soul into another level. I mean, the animal soul is also spiritual, but we're planting it in the animal soul level of spirituality, which is something much more earthbound. Now let's try on the next page. Ein Hey. Va'inyan hu. The thing is as follows. The ba'avodat ha'neshama, concerning the service of the soul, gam la'achalei yiridata lamata, also after it descends below, yeshnam shnei ofanim, there are two styles. Avodat ha'neshama mitzal atzma, the service of the soul in itself, va'avodata levare et nefesh ha'bahamit, and its service in order to transform the animal soul. So there's the experience of the divine soul in itself, and there's the experience of the divine soul trying to do something to the animal soul. You see, there is an approach in spirituality, in the path. Do you have it, Ayin He?
No, I'm just because before they talk about nefesh, and now they speak about the neshama, which is two different things.
Yes. Right? When it says neshama, it means the divine soul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see there are several different words for the divine soul. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida.
Okay.
All of those refer to the divine soul, and they are different levels of the divine soul. The Zohar speaks of this. And then, so all that is nefesh alukit. So it's called nefesh on the lowest level, because nefesh is the lowest level.
Right.
But then there's the nefesh of Hamid.
The lowest level of neshama.
Is nefesh, yeah,
okay.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Then neshama elokit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You see, there is an approach to spirituality where the person tries to forget about their animal soul. The person is trying to intensify the spiritual experience of the divine soul by living in a world pure Torah, maybe pure Kabbalah. It could be very, very intense spiritual experience. And the animal soul is denied. If the animal soul has a desire, then the person resists that and doesn't want to let the animal soul express itself. And that is a path where the person goes further and further away from the guf, from physicality. And so we have all kinds of ascetic practices among the Kabbalists of the 16th century and the 17th century. There were people who would fast an enormous amount or do other things in order to mortify themselves in different ways, to levatesh, to crush the animal soul, and so that only the divine soul is able to grow. When the Hasidic movement began with the Baal Shem Tov, one of the things he tried to do was to stop this intense asceticism. And one way of understanding what he was seeking was that the divine soul, instead of soaring off itself in its own spiritual realm, should metapel with the animal soul, should deal with the animal soul. And so then comes out in Hasidic thought, in early Hasidic thought, what academics call avodah begashmiyut, the service in physical terms, that the physical world becomes a way of expressing godliness. And so there we have a quite paradoxical concept, that the way in which you attain greater spirituality is through reaching down into the world as world. So there is the service of the divine soul by itself, and there's the service of the divine soul with the animal soul. וזהו פירוש לזרוע השכל והמידות בנפש הלקית בנפש הבאמין. That's the explanation of the idea of sowing the intellect and emotions of the divine soul in the animal soul. Ki ha-seichu v'amidot enefesh elokit, kamo she'em mitzad atzmam, the emotions, the intellect and emotion of the divine soul as they are in themselves. E'efshah she'yeh al yadam birur nefesh ha-bahamim. They are so exalted, it's impossible they can actually transform or affect the animal soul. In order that they should have an effect on the animal soul, who al yedei yiridatam b'itlabshutam, is by them descending and being enclosed b'haseichel v'amidot d'nefesh ha-bahamit, in the intellect and emotions of the animal soul, which is riya, which is planting. So you see, it's as if something has to be planted, something from the divine soul has to actually come down into the animal soul, into the mind and into the heart of the animal soul, in order to be involved and enclosed and to transform it. V'yesh lomar, and one can suggest, shal derech zeh b'kiyom ha-Torah mitzvah. We could say the same thing about keeping Torah mitzvah. Now this is an interesting passage. Because the shebichdei sheyeh chayut b'Torah mitzvot, in order that there should be chayut, there should be enthusiasm, there should be life, there should be meaning in the Torah mitzvot, hu k'shekiyum haTorah mitzvot hu ba'ahava v'yirah, is when keeping mitzvot is with love and fear. Now ahava v'yirah are really very spiritual dimensions. They are very ethereal part of our structure, like a love of the infinity, of the oneness of the divine. And then from that love, you come closer and closer. And from that, suddenly, instead of it being love, it becomes an infinite awe. It's the other pan sheni. Like one side is ava, and the other side is yira, which are described as two wings of a bird. And so there is this very, very ethereal relationship. Ubirdei she'al yidei ahava v'yirad haneshama, through the love and fear. So there's love and fear in the soul, and that's something which is very, that's a very, very ethereal level. In order for them to produce yeh chayut b'maseh mitzvot, there should be a life force, there should be enthusiasm in doing mitzvot, shal yedei zeyu parcha la'ela, through which the mitzvot will fly upwards with the two wings of ahava and yirah. The mitzvot fly upwards. So if a person is praying, so it's a typical image of people praying, and they're just saying the words of the prayer, what do they feel? And there's a Hasidic critique of the way in which people can pray, and it's just simply words being said. I mean, very often it's not just words being said, there's all kind of emotional responses. But the Hasidim are asking for more than that. So the idea is that if the words are said with ahava v'yirah, it's like love and fear, like two wings of a bird, which are making the words soar upwards. So how do you do that? So through the fact, hu al yedei yiridatam v'hitlabshutam ba'asiyad ha-mitzvah, through the fact that the ahava v'yirah, the love and fear, come down into the actual practicality of the person praying or doing a mitzvah, through that there's a kind of a descent. That love and fear, instead of just being very ethereal, they come down into some kind of practical activity, which might be prayer or it might be something else. That means that should really be in red. You see, like something in the practical world, in the physical world. So there is this flow from above, and through that comes the v'zeu shekiyum haTorah mitzvot ba'adam nikra b'shem zriya. This is the sowing of something ethereal in something practical, and from that it grows upwards. Now. So now we come to this idea of the Me'er She'arim and the 50 Gates of Wisdom. which we're going to take.
From this Mea Shearim?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Why they called it that, I don't know. They began building Mea Shearim, wasn't it around 1880?
Yeah.
Something like that. Outside the walls of Yerushalayim, Ya'atika, they began building this extra settlement. I'm not sure if the phrase is because they built a wall with many many gates.
That was deliberate.
They had to build a wall for protection.
They built a wall in Mea Shearim.
Well, the wall is now all houses. But it's, you see, there's like courtyards inside. I think it began as a wall. They had to have a wall because it was very dangerous.
But the Ungarim, it's like courtyards, yeah.
Yeah, it's courtyards with a wall around. In effect.
They called him Mea Reshaim.
That's a more modernistic But that's, I think they had to have a wall. It was simply dangerous. And it could be, I mean, one of, you know, because all around Mea Shearim there are different entrances into the inner part. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, V'hine al-pi anal, through what we've read before, the avodah of Yizra Yitzhak, the idea of Yitzhak planting, his riyat, it's the planting of, that means yiridat v'hitlabshut, the descent, the enclosing of akochot denefesh elokit, of the power, the qualities of the divine soul, b'kiyum ha-mitzvah, in the keeping of mitzvah, and in the sifting, or b'birur nefesh ha-bahamit, and in the sifting of the animal soul. You see, in other words, the direct process that we are engaging in our lives, this is the universal dimension here, or at least as it applies to every person, that we're engaging with the connection of something spiritual with the realities of our life, with the material and physical realities of our life. And we're trying to get this spiritual dimension enclosed in our life. Now then, if that's how we're understanding it, that this is the planting of something spiritual within ourselves, and there are many ways in which one could imagine, the discourse does not spell out the process, how the planting actually looks, that there is something conscious which is taking place of trying to take this more spiritual dimension and use it in the practicalities of what we do. It's a certain kind of kavanah. It's a certain kind of focus of the person that they're not just in a spiritual mood or in a spiritual realm. And they're not just doing something practical. They are trying to bring the spirituality into the practical thing that they are doing from the very beginning of the Hasidic movement, and indeed from the very beginning of the expression of Jewish pietism, which we see already in the Talmud as well. There were people who are, everyone in the Talmud is seen as an extremely spiritual person, but some are seen as more obviously spiritual than others. So you have a rabbi who was praying the Shmona Esrei, who was praying the Amidah, which is a prayer that one isn't supposed to move. And a snake came along and bit him. And the snake died. So there is this sense of drawing the spiritual into, it's not just an image that the person has in their mind, it's also that he's saying the Shmona Esrei, he's praying that he's there in the physical world or doing a mitzvah of one kind or another. So it's drawing this together. Now here we come to the concept of Just 1 second. So through this, we have to say that she'inyan vayimtza me'er sha'arim, the idea of finding a hundredfold. He lo amshacha melamayla habal yedei kiyum haTorah mitzvot mitzal atzmo. The 100 times is not just a flow from above because someone kept the mitzvah. Eila haliyad nefesh elokid, it's the ascent of the divine soul through the fact that it went down into the animal soul. So it's through this process of joining the spiritual with the physical that something grows, something flourishes in the divine soul. In other words, the divine soul, through connecting with the animal soul, experiences a tremendous, tremendous growth in itself. Now, in other words, the path is not one of purely seeking spirituality. It's of the spiritual connecting with the animal, and through that, the spiritual itself grows. Va'inyan hu kumavu b'mayma, and that is, as it says, the me'ah sha'arim em chamishim sha'arei bina shtei pa'amim. The 100 gates, now we're going back to the word gates. The 100 gates are the 50 gates of Binah twice. And that is the Binah Shtei Madregot. Now, what he explains are different ways of understanding the whole idea of these 50 gates of understanding. And so there is the idea that you have different levels of understanding of Binah. There's a higher level and a lower level. Or you could put it, it's from above to below and from below to above. And each of these are the 50 gates of understanding. Now, if we move on to section Hay, we have a passage from the Siddur, which I gave you, which has got a verse which we read in the daily prayers. The 50 gates are in the two ways. I'm just going through the Hebrew quickly. The milamata lamaila or milamaila lamata, from below to above and from above to below. Now there we have in the Siddur, and it relates also to this picture of the Sfirot. So if I can give you this to share. I'll give you that to share. You can see. Okay. So now we have from the Siddur. 1 second. I'm just looking for my own. Here we are. Yeah. Now let's look down at the Siddur. Vayevarech David et Hashem le'enei kol ha'kahal. This is a very, very interesting passage in the Siddur. Do you remember I gave you that passage from the Siddur?
Yeah.
God, this is said every single day of the year in Shacharit. David blessed the blessed God in the eyes of the whole community. This is in fact King David. It's from Divrei Hayamim, and this is King David's last speech. It's a very, very interesting thing. And Vayomer David, and David said as follows: Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael Avinu. Blessed are you, Hashem, God of Israel, our Father, Mo'olam Vad Olam, from eternity to eternity, or from world to world. Lecha Hashem, to you, Hashem, is Hagdula. Now, Gdula, greatness, is the one of the ways of saying Chesed. Chesed in the Sfirot is often called Gdula in older Sfarim, in older books. Hagdula vahagvura. The greatness, that means the Chesed, and the Gvura, the severity. Vahatiferet, and the splendor, that's the third Sfira. Vahanetzach, that's victory on the right. Vahahod, and submission or splendor on the left. Kichol, now the Kabbalists say that chol is a hint at the word yusod, at the concept yusod, dedication. Bashamayim uva'aretz, in heaven and earth. Locha Hashem Mamlacha. To you is kingship, which is Malchut. It's interesting that here you have the Sfirot in a biblical text. They are often hinted at in biblical texts, but here you actually have the list of them pretty well in a biblical text, and it's said in the Tfilot every day. So this explains it as follows. If we go back to the discourse section, hey. Okmog shekatov, Lacha Hashem Hagdula Vagvura Vatiferet Vanetzach Vahod Kicho Bashamayim Vaaret. Right? He just says the words again. Lacha Begimatria Nun. The word Lacha has the numerical value, the Gematria 50. Because Lacha, section Hey, yeah. Page Ayimba. Sorry. So Lamed is 30, Chaf is 20. So that makes 50. And also Kol Begimatria Nun. Kol is 20 and 30 makes 50. So they both have. So now this 50, what is the 50? This Kai al Hea Midot. It means the five main Midot. Now the five main Midot are these five. Of these lower Midot. We're talking about the lower Midot. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod, those are the five main Midot. Yesod is the way those Midot flow down to Malchut and connect with Malchut. But the five main Midot are these five, and that's the 50 of the 50 gates of wisdom, of understanding, the Nun Sha'arei Binah, the 50 gates of understanding, because each of these five Midot has its full form, which is 10. And so therefore, Shekol Echat Mehem Klula Me'asara, each one of them is made up of 10. Eila, but Lacha, the first word of the Tefillah, Lacha Hashem Agdola, who Milamata Lamala, is from below to above, because you're reaching towards God, Lacha, you're looking towards God. V'chol, but at the end of the Tefillah, Chol is milamayla lamata, like the Yesod, which is a flow downwards. So first of all, there's Lacha looking upwards, and you get those five Midot, and then there is Chol, which is reaching downwards. The Ba'aliyat HaMidot L'Shorsham, because when the Midot, when the emotions seek, reach upwards to their source, they are in a way of Bitul. They have abnegated themselves, and they are just looking Lacha towards God. But when they flow downwards from above to below, they are and they flow down through Yesod, they come into a way of feeling themselves. They feel themselves as something real, and it's at that point that they flow down into Malchut. So here we have the way in which we're talking about the emotion of the divine soul connecting with the animal soul, that we have these midot, these qualities, which are qualities of the divine soul, but they are enclosed in the animal soul, and they have these two dimensions, the 50 gates upwards and the 50 gates downwards, and that is the way there is this integration of the divine qualities with the animal, with the animal qualities, so that it becomes a full form. And that is what is being achieved here. If we skip to two pages and we come to the penultimate page, Ayin Chet, nearly finished. We're going up to Vav, and this is the connection of finding 100 gates to the idea that Yitzhak planted, because the planting of the forces of the divine soul in the animal soul, and similarly in the carrying out of mitzvah, is that the emotions of the divine soul, which is rooted in tikkun, this is Ayin Chet, section Vav, they are limited as regards the intellect, because the emotions of the animal soul, which comes from Tohu, they are actually much stronger. The animal soul emotions when the animal soul gets involved in doing a mitzvah, then you really do the mitzvah, and you really feel the mitzvah. Whereas the divine soul is very ethereal. It's that. So there's a sense in which bringing it into the animal soul brings it much more into the real world and the reality of the world. There's a deep philosophy here about the direction of spirituality. Is the direction of spirituality away from the world, or is it into the world in order to make the world into a more spiritual place as a world? World qua world. See, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, J.B. Soloveitchik, was a famous Jewish scholar. He was the doyen, he was the leading scholar of the Yeshiva University in New York. And he and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they both studied together in Berlin. They knew each other from the university where they had studied together. And they knew each other as two great Torah scholars. And Rabbi Soloveitchik believed that the direction, and he had studied a lot of Hasidic thought, but he believed that the pathway of Hasidic thought is away from the world. And he called it homo religiosus. In a book that he wrote, Halachic Man, he discusses the nature of man. It's a whole quotation from the Torah where it describes twice the creation of Adam. And so he speaks about two kinds of man. There's man who is seeking God beyond. And then there's halachic man. There's man who is keeping the halacha in the world. And it's very interesting that in the Lubavitcher Rebbe's perception, there really is a very similar structure, that the path is not to escape from the world into a realm of spirituality. The path is to draw the spirituality into this world. And that's what it's talking about here. The sowing, the planting of the spiritual in the physical. And that also applies within the structure of one human being. That he or she reaches to a more spiritual dimension of themselves and brings that to bear into the physical level, beginning with the emotions of the animal soul, which are actually more powerful. And it's from that that you get the hundredfold expansion. Because when the divine soul triggers off the animal soul, then there's a hundredfold, there's an enormous expansion, much more than you would otherwise expect. So by triggering off the animal soul and the physical dimension of the person, there is a tremendous growth and success. And then it goes in section Zion. It talks about actual the fact that from this process you then come to a further level which comes from above through engaging in this process, which is the planting and the finding of a hundredfold. You come to a further level, and that further level is via Varocheu Hashem, that God blessed him. So that's the way that it ties up the question at the beginning. You have the process of the divine soul and its emotions being in an intellect being implanted in the lower dimension of the animal soul. This causes an enormous growth, which is the finding a hundredfold, which is like the 50 gates of understanding, from above to below and from below to above. And then this causes a further reaching to the beyond and blessing coming from the beyond, which is via Baruchu Hashem, God blessing him. So finally we come to the very last paragraph, Umamshich HaKatuv, and the verse continues, Vayigdal HaIsh, the man grew, Vayelech HaLoch VaGadel Ad Ki Gadel Ma'od, the man became greater and greater, Sh'omer Kan HaLashon Gadol Gimel Pamim, three times it says the word growing, great. Vayesh Lomar Sh'gimel HaGdulot, we could say that these three types of growth connect to the three things of sowing, finding, and the blessing. So there's the three dimensions. And so there we have this, now let's just see this in terms of, in terms of the Sfirot, that we have Vayigdal Ha'ish, the man grew, it means the flow, which is the Itaruta Dilatata, that is the arousal from below, that's the sowing, that's the effort that the man is making, which is drawing down the radiance of the inner radiance of the world, or Hamamalik Ulalmin. And then he grows further, this comes, the Vayimtsa, this is through planting in the animal soul, comes about a tremendous extra dimension, which is actually Hamshachat or Hasovev, which is the surrounding radiance. Now, this level here is the Mamale Kol Almin, but the level of Keter, of Ratzon, is Sovev Kol Almin, is a surrounding level, which is something higher. And so then that becomes greater and greater until you get the third level via Barachei Hashem, which comes from Hamshachat Ha'atzmut, which comes from the very essence. So you have three levels. The level of implanting over here, the growth which is over there, and then from the level of Atzmut. And so that is the real unlimited quality, because what we're talking about is something which is taking place on a cosmic level, and the individual, through his and her effort in the world to join the spiritual with the practical, and through that reaching higher and higher dimensions, it's their own personal life which is achieving something very spiritual, but it's also a kind of transformation of existence as a whole, and that revelation of Atzmut, which is via Barachei Hashem, the revelation of the essence, so that every aspect of the world reveals infinitely the oneness of the divine. That's the goal of existence, the goal of creation, to which we're working together. Okay.